The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
The general overview is I'll give some brief guided meditation kind of thing, a bit of guidance for, and we usually sit for, you know, about 45 minutes, hour, depends on if I go to sleep or not. That's I go to sleep, you might be here till 10 o'clock tonight, who knows, I'll try not to, but then after that, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask questions then. Chan, you said to give a talk. I'm not going to give a talk first, I'm just basically going to let you meditate, so that's probably better use of your time. So with that, we might get started. Start to get into a comfortable position. Whether you're sitting in a chair or sitting on the floor, it doesn't matter. As long as it feels comfortable for you, and you can at least try to keep your back reasonably straight. And that your body feels relaxed and at ease, not strained in any way. You can start to notice maybe some of the sounds in the room. Sound of my voice. Some of the sounds from outside. Just noticing what's happening and occurring in this moment. Can notice how this body feels in this moment. How it feels sitting here. The weight of your body against the seat. The touch of your clothes on your skin. Or the temperature on your exposed skin. And all the various tingling and vibrations and slight movements. Again, we're not trying to change anything about the sounds or the sensations. I'm just noticing what they're like right in this moment. you start to relax and settle in more now. And gently bring your awareness to your normal method of meditation. That might be the breath, that might be repeating a phrase in your mind. It might be fixating on a visual object. Whatever you usually find most useful, just spend the next few minutes establishing your awareness on this object. if you find yourself drifting off, your mind wandering and becoming distracted, simply return to your anchor, that object of meditation that keeps you grounded and stops you from drifting. You simply start again. Each new breath is an opportunity to become mindful again, to become aware again, to wake up again. Whatever's past has already gone. There's not some state that you need to aim for. All that you have is this moment and this breath to be mindful again. Doesn't matter how many times your mind's wandered off. This moment is a new one. So use that moment to reestablish your awareness anew. for those of you that are happy to continue meditating on their own object, and that's fine. You don't have to listen to my instructions after this, but for anybody that's wanting some guidance, you now start to gently shift our attention into the heart region. Into this place where we typically feel care or joy or love. Just let your awareness settle there for a moment. You're going to start to shift the focus of the meditation now to bring up a state of unconditional kindness. So as you sit with your awareness in your heart region, see if you can bring to mind somebody that you share some sort of connection with. It can be a family member, it can be a friend. It can even be somebody that's distant from you that maybe you look up to, you admire. This even could be some spiritual figure in some way. Or if you maybe feel like you don't have anybody like that in your life, you can also bring up a pet that you have. Or an animal, or even a place somewhere that you feel connected to. And just take a moment to reflect that even though at times in our lives we may feel isolated or alone, and we have this person that we're connected to in some way, or this pet, or this place. in some way we've shared a connection with this individual. And they've made our lives better. And in some way you've shared a moment of care and compassion with this being. That you're not alone. That you are connected to others. And if you feel that kindness, that care, that sense of connection arising in the heart, so if you can nurture and tune into it and sink into it and allow that connection with another to expand. Expand throughout your body and even outside your body. Now see if you can bring to mind a group of people you share some connection with. It doesn't have to necessarily be a very close connection. Or it can be your family, it can be a close group of friends. Or it can even be a community or team or workplace that you're involved in. Even a club that you might be a part of. Or a sub-community. And again, just reflect that even though sometimes we might feel isolated or alone, that we are connected to others. That we have concern for others, and others do have concern for us. This group You yourself, you don't necessarily want anyone in this group to suffer. You wish them well. And it's safe to assume that most people are relatively similar to this. So you yourself are within their field of care. You're interrelated and connected in this way. And again, in your heart, if you feel this sense of connection and kindness and care and concern for others' well-being, really try to sink in to that emotion. Allow it to grow and swell up and expand. Feel the warmth of that nested web of care. That whole field of connection. That even though sometimes that connection might feel tenuous, that you are connected to others. And now you can even consider all the people sitting around you here tonight. Person sitting next to you, person in front of you, behind you, you share something in common with them. You share this commonality that you want to improve the quality of your mind. You share this connection with all these people here. And just like if you think of anybody else in this room, you don't wish them ill, or you want them to experience this joy and peace and clarity and insight from meditation. It's safe to assume that these others think the same thing about you. And where connected in this field of care and kindness and concern, the peace and happiness of others around us tonight. And that you're a part of that. You're not alone. Others care for you. Even if for only a brief moment. And you care for others. We're connected in this way. Again, if that feeling of unconditional kindness and care and connection for others is arising in your heart, allow it to swell up and expand outwards. Take a moment, a final moment, to let that sink in. That you cared for. That there are people who hold concern for you. Who wish you well. What does that feel like to know that others care for you? Just while everybody's gathering their thoughts, the meditation we were doing at the end there. This is what we're going to be going over the next few weeks on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. If anybody wants to come along, we'll be developing these cultivating type meditations. We'll also be doing that nightly and online as well. So if anybody wants to join in with those, you can sign up to the online group, and we'll be doing those nightly meditations as well. If anybody wants to delve a little deeper into them, learn a few different ones as well, that's what we'll be doing over the next few weeks. So yeah, if you like it, you can come along. If you didn't like it, well, you're not going to like the next couple of weeks. So
thank you, Ajahn, for the guided meditation. Now come to Q&A time. Do we have any question from the floor?
Anyone find that they could maybe bring some of those kind of emotions up or not? Yeah, no? You're sitting in a pile of hate, or it's okay, it's fine. It's okay.
Sometimes.
Why is he talking about all this nice stuff? I don't feel nice.
But I had to like go through like the whole inventory of everyone. Then I went to my cat, and sort of, and then I went to people. But I don't know whether that like that level of chopping and changing,
yeah,
is also unhelpful. Just like it might be to keep changing your focus. Like,
right,
you know, I'll do the breath, but then I'll go, but actually I'll imagine the Buddha in front of me. That works, yeah, for a while, but and yeah. I don't, yeah.
Does it feel unhelpful? Like, because obviously, you know, you're touching on something where it's like, oh, yeah, if, you know, if you're chopping and changing where you're trying to focus your attention on something, but in this you're chopping and changing on something when you're trying to be feeling like you're interconnected with many things. So does it feel unhelpful or?
Yeah, I don't know. And then I thought, well, if you're not forcing anything, then eventually, like, I'll find something, you know, like it's like having a bunch of flashcards in front. I was like, well, you know,
yeah,
that's just kind of maybe instead of thinking, no, that's not the good one, oh, try another one, try another person.
Yeah, yeah. I get, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it because, you know, say, for example, you might go, oh, well, oh, yeah, I'm going to think of my, you know, my work colleague. And I say, oh, I'm connected to it. Oh, but no, but they like, yeah, they left the coffee machine really dirty and it annoyed me, and they took my sandwich out of the fridge or something. And so, you know, if it's not really working, then you can pivot to others. You know, it's the thing about these meditations, it's not really about the individual that you're thinking about or the situation. It's about the emotion that you're trying to build up, the emotion that you're trying to bring into your heart. That's really what is the most important thing. And if you're bringing that emotion in, then that's the main thing. Like, it doesn't really matter about the object that you're aiming this at any one point in time. Obviously, doing towards a person is fine, you know, it's fine, but it's like, it's actually really the emotion that is the main thing that you're trying to bring up. So yeah, so chopping and changing is fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Ajahn, a quick question about meditation in general.
Yep.
So when I'm trying to focus on my breath, I come to a point where I focus on my body and then on my breath.
Yep.
And it works really good for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I start imagining these weird, like, I'm not sure if this is something that everyone goes through when they start meditation, or if it's just me going wild with my imagination. But I just imagine these scenarios that never happened, like conversations with my mother, walking through a field, things that never really happened. Is this something that people go through when they try to focus? Or is it something, is there something I can do to kind of like divert that?
So does anybody else have that happen to them? They try to focus on something and all these millions of other thoughts pop into your head? Everybody else in the room is pretty common with that? Yeah, it's totally it's totally normal. It's everybody's going through the same thing. It's a natural process of learning to meditate. Is that you know you can keep your attention focused for a moment, but then obviously the whole causal conditioning that you have just causes all these other thoughts to bubble up, and even more when you're keeping your eyes closed and you're not moving your body around too much, you actually start to have sometimes more, even more bizarre thoughts come up, because if you're operating and moving around in the world, you're seeing Langdon and Shinshan and I'm seeing the camera and I know what's going on, but if you've got your eyes closed and you're not really listening to much, you get bizarre kinds of thoughts come up. So it's 100% normal. Everybody does it. I've been doing this for like a couple of decades and it still happens. So it's totally normal. It's what you'll start to find, though, the more you do it and the more you practice it and the more that you develop a kind of habit out of this, it will get better. It gradually gets better. So those periods of times, you know, 5 seconds, you said, it can, you know, go up to 7 seconds, to 10 seconds, to 20 seconds, to a minute kind of thing. It'll gradually get better. And, you know, the final piece of this, I'd say, is like, you know, 5 seconds is pretty good. Like you might think about it now and go, oh, that's nothing that much. It's like 5 seconds is really good. You think about I don't think this is an overstatement, but millions of people that have never had 5 seconds of peace. Like there's so many people in the world that have never had that at all. And you like just got it like that. It's pretty good. So it's encouraging. It's encouraging that it's like, well, I can do this thing. You know, this is something that can be done. And if I work on it, tonight I got 5 seconds. You know, next week I got 10 seconds. It's like, hang on, I can get better at this. And the better I get at this, the more calm I have in the mind, the more peace I have, the more happiness I have. So to quickly answer your question, like you just have to just ask anybody else of like, have you had erroneous thoughts when you like meditate? And everyone's like, we usually look around in the room. It's like, oh God, he looks so still tonight. And it's like, oh no, he's all over the place. I had a monastic friend and like he was, you look at him from the outside and he was like one of the best monks you could get. He was always still, serene, and did everything really slowly. And he was super impressive. And I go up to him and I go, oh, wow, you know, and he sit for hours and hours and hours. And I went up to him and said, oh, you know, how are you doing all this? And he's like, oh, you don't know what's going on inside. It's a mess. So it really does happen to anyone. Doesn't matter if you're a layperson, doesn't matter if you're a monastic. It's the same. It's totally the same thing. So, yeah.
We don't have any online question yet.
There's none online? Okay. Sit in silence. Yeah, go for it.
Just when you talked about the messiness,
yeah,
I find it interesting because, like, you know, I've said before, like, originally doing meditation just brought up so many negative emotions.
Yeah.
But now, like, it's almost harder when there's no negative emotions.
Yeah.
And things are much calmer. When the movies start playing, really interesting, bizarre, elaborate things that haven't actually happened.
Right.
So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I was wondering, like, well, that's an interesting progression from like really difficult to this is, or no, first of all, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is really terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the worst thing I've done. This is getting better.
Yeah.
To now, my mind's all over the place, but not in a bad, but not in a negative way.
Yeah.
But just this.
Yeah. Yeah, you can sometimes get this kind of just bubbling along of very neutral kinds of thoughts. They're just random kind of things, and yeah, and the thing about them though is like you also can get sort of like lulled into this
because nothing really huge is happening, so you can get lulled and sort of drift away by them a lot easier.
Yeah.
So it's and especially when you start to sit for longer as well. So the bottom line is it's better. It's better than needlessly suffering with these things. So I don't know what else to say about that, but
no, that was helpful. Yes, where you said easily, like lulled, but suddenly he's more easily able to just drift off and go, oh wow,
yeah,
okay, where do I go there?
Yeah, and sometimes it's analogous to what it's like just before you go to sleep. You do start to sort of drift a little bit, and you have these sort of fantastical kind of things and. Things that pop into your mind kind of thing, and the sort of disjointed kind of thing, and you drift and lull in this kind of way. So yeah, you do have to be careful. You do have to be careful of that. Not careful as in like, oh, watch out, that's happening, but more careful of like, oh, well, part of it is pulling things back, and part of it is trying to like reestablish mindfulness. So yeah, you have to do that. Well, while people are thinking of questions, we're also having a meditation retreat this weekend. It's a one-day retreat on Saturday. I'll be doing it. We're going to be spending a whole day thinking about how we live well. Does anybody think that they live well at the moment? That your life's pretty good? You're living a good life? Yeah, you're fine. It's fine. Oh, not at all. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Why does that feel like you're not living a good life? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's not necessarily that it's bad in some kind of way, but it's out of balance. And you could probably say it's more out of balance, like not necessarily,
The bad thing is something that we've always associated with, that.
Mm. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, and, even a good label can make things bad because you think that thing needs to be good all the time. And it's like, well, I thought it was good. I used to think, like, cricket was good. Now it's like, I don't care about cricket. so these kind of labels that we give things, they can change as well. So even if something does feel like it's good, it can also be bad in this kind of way. But it's like, but how do we maybe know that we're leading a good life? Yep. Yep.
Letting go of the expectation that's going to be ongoing.
Yep.
And so that brings joy, not having that expectation, but welcoming what comes in.
Yep.
As peaceful and calm. For example, I can be in peace for a number of years. And actually, it's been a joy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll summarize for people online. So a kind of what is a good litmus test of living well is this ability to sort of accept things for the way that they are in some kind of way, and that kind of accepting things there's a joy in that. Is that sort of right, or
in the acceptance of
what is,
mm.
there is joy because mm. it allows joy.
Yeah.
Because there's no interference of the anything opposing.
Mm.
Do you follow what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so it's, yeah, so.
It's a bit like happiness. If you expect to be happy all the time,
yep.
Happiness doesn't come to me that way.
Mm.
Happiness comes in moments of happiness.
Yeah.
Peace and quiet and calm
yep.
come in moments.
Yep. So the moments of peace and calm can bring about this kind of happiness. This is a bit of an indication that you're living a good life in this kind of way. But is there also the case as well where moments of suffering can bring about some kind of meaning, some kind of purpose, some kind of happiness?
That's part of being.
Yeah.
That's in my way of thinking, I'm not saying.
Yeah, for sure. So even recognizing some parts of the things that are not so good, that actually can course correct us in some kind of way, put our lives on a decent kind of track. It's maybe a kind of warning signal of we're going the wrong way. Does anybody think that, or it's like, no, I'm going to like move away from it totally?
Sometimes,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If the mind gets a bit overheated with an emotion or a yep. thought, I'm able. Sometimes it's nice to realize that here I am sitting here, if it is in a meditation, in this hot stew that of life that everyone else will go through, and I'm just going through the same suffering as the people potentially around me or day to day. And it gives you the sort of sense of we're all in it together.
Yeah,
and then that somehow out of that suffering comes a sense of connection.
Mm.
And then before I know it, back into a nice place.
Yeah, no.
I find that's a thing that helps me a little bit.
Yeah. So knowing in some way that we all share the same kind of human condition, that, that we're all, things are sort of good sometimes, things are bad sometimes, and you're recognizing that can sort of pull you back in some kind
Absolutely.
Of way.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so what are some of the things that we all share? What are some of those common humanity things that we all share? What are some of the things that is common in all existence?
Suffering?
What parts of suffering?
Loss.
What kind of loss?
Friendship,
yeah. Anybody else?
Anything that we're attached to, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a lot, though. That can be quite a lot. I'm attached to water.
Good attachment.
Anything that I feel should be a certain way.
Anything you feel should be a certain way?
Yeah. Like, my daughter should act like this.
Right. She's pretty good. She sat there really still for ages.
She is. But, my daughter should behave like this with her friends, but she's not.
Yeah.
Or this is, I do my best at an exam, so this is the result I should get. So whenever I expect that something should be a certain way and it doesn't happen, that leads to a disappointment.
Yeah. See you later. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, wanting things to be other than what they actually are. This is bringing up some kind of dissatisfaction in our lives, discontent in our lives. Yeah. So there's so many things there that we all share.
And I think to add to that, what I see among lots of younger people is. They have their lives are good by itself, but relative to other people, it's because through social media and stuff,
they
see how other people are living,
and
they feel like I should also be like that because so it makes people feel disappointed as well.
Yeah. So we all, in some way, share some sort of sense of lower kind of self-worth through comparing ourselves to others in some kind of way. Yeah.
And does that, is you know, when we look at the Buddhist teachings, we know there's some other big things there as well. You know, there's, you know, sickness. Yeah, sickness. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to get old. And at some point, you know, we're all going to die. We're all going to pass away. This is sort of common to all of us. So do we think that recollecting on these aspects of suffering, do we think that that makes our life better in some way? Or does it make it worse? Or does it make you morbid? Or does it make you go, oh, well, that's, you know, yeah. Better? Why would it be better in some way?
Why do I think it's better? I think mostly because it is something that's going to happen. And instead of denying it, accepting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is something that is inevitably going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can't get away from it.
You can't do anything about it.
And so something that's inevitably going to happen and you can't get away from it, it's better to reflect. It's better to reflect on this thing. And do you also think that maybe reflecting on this thing that is inevitable would help you prioritize things in life?
Yeah, but also it might help to process the emotions that come up a little bit earlier,
yeah,
rather than waiting for that last minute to kind of when it's suddenly happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a, personally.
Yeah. So even something like reflecting that you might get sick, maybe, you know, maybe makes you a little bit nicer to someone like that. Is that what you mean? Or,
well, I think like when the time comes for me to be sick, which may or may not happen, but it might happen.
It will happen.
I don't know. I might just go out in a blaze of glory. Well,
it's yeah, yeah, you go true. Yeah, actually, that's going to be another kind of suffering, but yeah,
but you know, like, yeah, so with dying as well, you know, that will happen.
Yep.
So rather than get there and fight and try and barter or just realize it's not what I want and grasp and cling and kind of see what comes up and prepare. Because, you know, the more you think about it and the more you feel something, then the more it dilutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
Yeah.
When you're eventually faced with that, you might have gone, I've done this. I've done this practice before. Yeah. So I know what to do to manage it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's this aspect here. If we can become familiar with something that is uncertain or discomforting in some kind of way, when we actually do have to face that thing, then we're much better situated to actually handle it.
Yeah, let it overwhelm. I kind of think about it like, you know, like performance practice or performance anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, it still might be there, but you don't have to let it control your body to the point where you're unable to function.
Yeah. And so, there's, you know, that's part of the kind of meditative lifestyle we're kind of leading. You know, what we're doing is reflecting on some of these things because for some kind of reasons you're practicing for things that will inevitably actually come to you, and you know, obviously these are the things that usually cause us a lot of suffering. So if we can get used to them when they do come, you can accept them a lot more. And I also think that what these things do is they actually allow you to really prioritize your life of like, well, what means something to me? What's important? What am I spending my time on? Am I wasting my time? Am I in a job that I don't like? Should I be doing something better with my time? How do I live relating to the people that are around me, knowing that it's at some point it's going to end? Am I being the best person that I can possibly be? So I think there's this element there that if we reflect on these kinds of things, it's, again, you're right in some kind of way. You're getting ready for that point. You're getting ready for that thing that's going to happen. But I think there's another side to that as well. It's like it's actually allowing you to live a lot better now. Because you know what's important, what things have meaning for you, and what things matter, and what things don't matter. So, yeah. What do you mean by understanding the gravity of things? Yeah, yeah. It's just for the online audience. It's not to record you or anything like that. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, just in regards to being sick or death, just in life, just having an understanding of the gravity of things and how they can, like what you were talking about, prioritizing things in your life.
Yeah. So you yourself understanding the gravity, or just in a more broader social and other kind of context?
Oh, well, in regards to what's important in life, understanding the gravity of how important friendships are.
Yeah, right.
Or relationships.
Yeah.
You know, the sickness of someone that could be, quite devastating, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so understanding that in some way, this is not only important to your own life, we obviously worry about ourselves becoming sick and old and all these things, but it's also very, very important to others. And when they do go through it, then at some level we really do have to pay a lot of attention to that. Is that what you mean?
Kind of, yeah. It's more, I guess, when you're talking about prioritizing things, it's just really understanding what is of value or what is of meaning in life.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you can place too much meaning on things that aren't really important.
So recollecting these kinds of things helps us go, very heavy, very heavy kind of thing. So now I can go, well, that's the heaviest kind of thing. Now I can go, I can organize my time of this other little thing didn't really matter.
Like you were saying, what you waste your time on or what you're putting energy towards might not be worth your while.
And most of it isn't. I got angry at somebody on a bus today. I'm starting to get really angry at Melbourne drivers. And it's really annoying me. The last 3 days, I don't know why, it's really starting to annoy me of like Melbourne drivers stop for pedestrians in the wrong place. They just stop on. It's like, look, I know the road rules. I know I'm not meant to like walk into the middle of the road. Like you're being dangerous by stopping there. And it's really annoying me lately. I don't know why. But it's stupid. It is. It's better than running over them. But yeah, but.
And they know that, so they walk in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And I spoke to someone about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because these people do know that who is
the driver
are more litigious than the person
crossing the road. Yeah. So, it's safety
thing.
Yeah.
To deal with it. Yeah.
It's for sure. I'm 100% for safety and not running people over, by the way. I'll put that out there.
Through you stopping to avoid an incident, you're actually creating other people.
Yeah, that's for me, that's the problem. Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, there's only so much you can change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's within yourself, not within other people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's, I don't know. And again, for me, it's a totally egotistical thing. It's like, I'm not an infant. Like, I know how to cross a road. The point of the matter of this is like, this is useless. This is why am I getting worried about what other people do in cars? Like they have my good intentions. As you said, they have my good intentions at heart. They're not trying to run me over. That's a pretty good thing, but I'm getting angry at them. So yeah, there's this aspect of if we know the gravity of something like our mortality, then, these things, they don't matter that much. So this has been a very long way of saying that this is what we're going to be going through on Saturday. We're going to be going through a lot of these kind of reflections on our own mortality, on our own death, to actually, again, not to be morbid in any kind of way, not to be sort of positive about it in any way, but actually to really realign our priorities in life and how do we actually lead a good life knowing that at some point, this is going to be a last time for everything. So that's what we're going to be going through on Saturday. So if anybody wants to join into that, you're more than welcome to. Finally, again, you know, there's the Friday nights. They're happening. There's also the Sunday talk as well. We have the online nightly group. If anyone wants to join that, just jump on the website and you can find information about that. Any last things?
We have a quick online question.
Run out of time, So we can keep it for another night. Sorry about that. Sorry to forget about the online audience. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. I'll answer it another night, that's for sure. Jump onto the, whoever's asked it, jump onto the nightly online group and ask me there. It's a lot easier. It's so okay. Any other announcements or anything or?
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks so much, Ajahn.
Okay. All the best, everyone. Have a nice night.